Hey everybody, welcome to Crosswind Church Podcasts. We hope this message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
I'm excited for a couple reasons. First off, we are officially in August. We are T-minus college football. Second, we've got some brand new faces in the room, and so I'm so excited about, apparently it's Move Up Sunday. Did anybody tell you all this? No one told me this. So anyway, we're moving up today, and so what that means for those of us in the room, we've got some brand new faces, sixth graders that are in the room, and so that's exciting. Crosswind Church, put your hands together and just welcome them real quick. That's cool. That's so cool for us. And so here's what I want to say, sixth graders especially, but even if you're a teenager, junior high, middle school, high school, wherever you're at, here's what I want to tell you. This is not an adult service, okay? Now, I know a lot of faces around you look old, right? Not me, but like everybody else, they look kind of older than you, and so it kind of feels like an adult service. This is not what this is. This is your service, okay? Crosswind Church is not an adult church, okay? This is a church for all people of all places and all different kinds of things going on. And so I want you to know it is my job, it is my responsibility as the pastor of Crosswind Church to make sure I'm not just talking to the senior adults, but to the sixth grader as well. I want Crosswind Church to be a place where people can come, and whether you can be full of doubt or you can be full of faith. I want Christians and critics in the room. Like, that's my desire. I want Crosswind Church to be a place, watch this segue, I want Crosswind Church to be a church where you can ask questions. Do you like that? I worked all week on that. I hope you like that. So the other reason I'm excited is because we get to start a brand new series today where we've entitled it, I've Got Questions. Whether you want to realize it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, we've all got questions. And I was not the kid growing up in my educational experience. I was not the hand raiser. Anybody a hand raiser? See? That's why I'm glad you guys are here, because when I ask things, you raise your hand. You're so all, I love this. So, like, it just wasn't me. I wasn't comfortable doing that. I wasn't brave enough. I wasn't courageous enough. If there was a question that I had, there was a problem on the board, or there was a situation, I wasn't that kid. I wasn't that student. And so what I hoped, for those of you who were like me, what we hoped when we were sitting there at our desk, we hoped somebody else would ask the question. We hope someone else was brave enough, bold enough to raise a hand and say, hey, I've got a question about this. I need to talk. Can you explain this a little more? And it's interesting, in my church experience, 35 and a half years in this thing, like we've got to a place where we've almost expected church to be a place where you don't ask questions. You just accept things. And if you don't accept it, you don't agree with it, then you can just, you know, you can just kind of move on, or you can be hushed, or in today's culture, we use the word canceled. And so my hope and desire is that Crosswind Church would be a place where you guys, we together, could ask questions, and that be okay, whether you're in the room or you're watching and listening online. And here's the reason I say that. Not because I just want Crosswind Church to be a cool place, but we see this in the Gospels. When you open up the pages of your Bible and you go to the New Testament section and you read these four books, these four letters, these four documents of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, you see a bunch of questions. And if you dare to read the Gospels, and if you dare to read about the interactions between regular, ordinary, first century people and Jesus, they ask Jesus a bunch of questions. Because come on, let's face it. If today, if August the 10th, we told everybody, if we sent out a text, if we posted on social media, hey, Jesus is going to be here on Sunday, August the 10th. Y'all want to be here? Bring your questions. Everybody's got a question. And even those of you like me who are not hand raisers, you're raising your hands asking Jesus a question. Why? Because he's Jesus, right? Like, if he's really is God in a bod, if he really stepped out of heaven to walk around and live on earth, he's got the answers. And so when you read the Gospels and the interactions of Jesus in the first century, you see people asking Jesus questions, whether they were his followers, whether they were people that were healed by Jesus, they had daily interactions or once-in-a-lifetime interactions, or maybe they were the religious leaders who were trying to trap him, they all asked Jesus questions. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm obsessed with Jesus. He's cool. And when I read the Gospels, guess who didn't answer all their questions? Jesus! Now, come on, think about it. Like, rude, right? Like, you know, if he's God, like, shouldn't he answer our questions? Like, if we were bold enough, brave enough to say, hey, Jesus, I got a question. Shouldn't he answer the question? Again, if you dive into the Gospels, you will see that Jesus directly answered only a few questions. And that blows my mind. It blows my mind when you read all four Gospels, Jesus is asked almost 200 questions in the four documents that we have, these documents over a three-year public ministry and a little extra. Like, he's asked almost 200 questions, and he answers only a few. Now, if you really want to nerd out like I did this summer and started reading all the Gospels and trying to track questions and was this direct or all this kind of stuff, Jesus, like when he's asked a question, I don't know if y'all got, if you do this like in your marriage or like maybe in your parenting style or maybe this is how you need, you know, when you go back to school, like maybe you should do this. Probably not. You probably get in trouble. Don't do this. But like Jesus, when he was asked a question, a lot of times he would respond with a question. Now, that's aggravating to me because I didn't ask the question to get a question. I asked the question to get an answer. But you'll notice when you read the Gospels that there's over 300 other questions that Jesus asked himself. And I find that very interesting. So much so, I want to talk about it for the next couple of weeks. I want us to look at the direct answers that Jesus gave to a very few of the questions that he responded with. Now, here's what I know. Many of you, just in the last few moments, you didn't raise your hand when I asked you to. And because you didn't raise your hand, that tells me you've got questions. And you might not be brave enough to raise your hand. And so over the next couple weeks, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've got a question. Here's what I want you to do. Because I believe we all have questions. Right? And maybe you're like me and you grew up in the church, and let's just be honest, sometimes the church doesn't answer our questions. It's not my favorite stat. Where high school seniors will graduate out of our youth group and our student ministries, and a lot of them will tell these researchers that the church or the student ministry or the youth group, they didn't answer my questions. And they're moving on to college or workforce or military or whatever they're doing, and they've still got questions. And that scares me. Because again, as I told you, I want to be a place, a community, a church where it's okay to ask questions, whether you're a hand raiser or not. And so, here's what I want to do. During this series, not only are we going to look at the questions that Jesus directly responded to, but on Sunday, September the 7th, would you say that for me? Sunday, September the 7th on 3, 1, 2, 3? Fantastic. I have no idea what I'm preaching on that Sunday. Here's the reason why. Because throughout this series, I want you guys to think about a question that you want answered. Is there a question that the church hasn't talked about? Is there a question about faith, about scripture, about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, etc., 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 that you would love to be answered? I think we all have questions, and again, whether you have the idea or you're bold enough, brave enough to raise your hand or not, that's okay, because we're going to give you three other ways to ask these questions. Over the next several Sundays, we're going to look at questions that Jesus directly answered, but in this series, I want you to be brave enough and bold enough to ask a question. Maybe it's the struggling point in your faith. Maybe it's the reason why you haven't really gone all in with Christianity. Maybe it's the next step that you need to take in your faith, but you need a little bit of clarity. You need a little bit of instruction. And so over the next couple of weeks, I want to invite you to ask the question. And so you've got three different ways that you can do that. If you prefer to text us, you can text us this saved number. Cameron showed you earlier and talked about it. You can simply text us your question. You can scan the QR code that's in front of you for those of you who are in the room. And there's an option there in the Linktree account where you can ask us a question. I do prefer that you tell us like what service you're at, because I don't want to give an answer to a 9:30 question at the 11 o'clock service. So I'd really help me out and tell me what service you're a part of. And then the last way, if you love Crosswind and you want to go to heaven, you've already downloaded the Crosswind Church app, and you can do it directly on the app as well. Let's ask some questions over the next couple of weeks. And then on what day again? Sunday, September 7th. Fantastic. You guys are going to be here, and then we'll talk about some of these questions because we've all got them. The people that had daily interactions with Jesus had them. And I'm not telling you, I might not be able to answer all of them, but at least we can begin having the conversations and talking about some of the things that are that matters to you guys, that's going on in your life and in your world. Because I've got questions just like you. So today we're going to kick it off in John chapter 1. So as I said, we've got these gospels, right? We've got these good news accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And we have four of them, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the opening section of the New Testament section of our Bibles. And John was one of Jesus' original followers. And it's really cool in John chapter 1 because he begins to tell us how he came to follow Jesus. That John had a brother, James, and they were in a small business. They were fishing. They were fishermen. And they had this small business, and there's this other small business by some brothers, Simon and Andrew. And Jesus invites all of them, all four of them, to follow him, to leave their nets, to leave their boats, leave the small business. If you'll come and follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. And so John tells us that story, and then he goes into this next section. We're going to start with verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Again, I love Jesus. Don't you love Jesus? Like, Jesus doesn't show up and he's like saying all these fancy words and got it all elaborately and religiously, you know, kind of confused. He doesn't say all this. Like, he's just like real simple. "Won't you follow me?" Like, that's the invite for every single person on planet Earth, including you in the room, those of you watching online. If you've not decided to follow Jesus, why don't you? Like, it's real simple. That's the invitation for every single human being. If you want to know where you stand with God, it's real simple. Follow Jesus. And that's the same invite from the first century into today in the 21st century. That is the invite. That is the inclusion that Jesus wants for every single person. I don't need steps A, B, C, and D. I need you to consider, follow me. This is how he invites his first followers. This is how he invites you. John continues writing. It says, "Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip went and found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Philip more than likely has a buddy, has a friend, has someone who he is close to. And so he's been invited into this story. He's been invited into this group of men who have decided to follow Jesus. And it's like, it's revealing. Like, he's already figured it out. Philip is like, this is the dude. This is the guy. And so he finds his buddy Nathanael. And he says, "Hey, this is the guy." And check this out. I love what John does here, right? And for those of you who are like, "I don't really know if I believe in the Bible," this is why the Bible is so cool. He says, "Hey, these guys are from Bethsaida." Okay, we already know. Like, if you know a little bit about Jesus, we're going to find out in a minute. But some of you already know. Like, he grew up in Nazareth. He starts naming these little places, and when I say little places, I'm talking about little villages. We're not talking about like Union City or Troy, Martin, Hornbeek, Reeves, Kenton, South. Like, we're not talking about, like, those are big places. This is little bitty communities. And if not for the Gospels, talking about historical accuracy and the belief in the Bible, if not for the Gospels, the writing of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of these villages, which are nowhere else in first century accounts of this era, we find out that these little villages, even though the world and the history books say they didn't really matter, we know from the Gospels these places mattered because Jesus walked into these places and he invited ordinary, regular people, fishermen, normal, regular Joes, to come and follow him. And so this is what he does. He goes and finds his buddy Nathanael and he's like, "Hey, we found the guy. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Son of Joseph." I love this. This is so specific because this tells me that this area of Israel, this northern region that we call Galilee in the Gospels, was so small. Everybody knew everybody. And for some of you, you live in that, right? Like the community in which you live, the neighborhood, you know everybody. And so Philip looks at Nathanael, he's like, it's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You know the carpenter? You know the stonemason? He's got a really good son. Like, he's just like, all everybody's like bragging on how great he is. It's like, he's just like this perfect person. That's him. That's the one that Moses talked about in the law. That's the one that has been prophesied about. All the prophets have talked about a Messiah, someone coming from God to deliver Israel out of its bondage, out of all the things that Israel has found itself in for rejecting God and rejecting his covenants, rejecting his commandment, all this stuff. This is the guy. It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's the son of Joseph. It speaks to how small and how rural this area was. Now, the way Nathanael responds is so good. Verse 46, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Now, y'all know, y'all get this, right? Hornbeek? Sandberg? Reeves? Kenton? O'Brien? South Fulton? Troy? Martin? Union City? Is there anything good about that? Is there anybody good there? This is the same concept. You don't find out until you read all of John's gospel, but at the end of John's gospel in chapter 21, when Jesus gathers his disciples one last time after his resurrection, we find out that Nathanael is actually from Cana, which if you move on into chapter 2, you see that Jesus heads to Cana, and it's at that wedding where he takes water into wine. It's Cana. It's Nathanael's hometown. But first century maps tell us that Cana was just a little bit north of Nazareth. So it's almost like the way Nathanael responds, it's almost like he's kind of got this like rivalry going on with like Nazareth, like the Cana people didn't like the Nazareth people, and maybe the Nazareth people didn't like the Cana people, right? For those of us who have lived in Obion County their whole lives, like the city school versus the county school, really? It's kind of like this whole like rebels and tornadoes, like really? It kind of feels like there was this kind of like animosity, right? Maybe one was more hick than the other one. Like there was something going on here. Like Nathanael was absolutely like, there's no way the Messiah, this great prophesied, sacred, wonderful, amazing Messiah who's been prophesied about, who was talked about and wrote about in the law from the mouth of Moses, there's no way that person comes from Nazareth. That's the mindset here. And then, for those of you who are Jesus followers, like, the way Philip responds, like, I need you to copy and paste this into your vocab. Like, I need you to copy and paste this into your everyday conversations in the workplaces, in the school places, all the places that you, I need you to figure this out. This is how he responds. He says, come and see. You're like, I can't explain it. I know there's like something going on between Cana and Nazareth, and you're like, you know, in that. Like, I know it's weird, but like, come and see. Like, think about it for just a second. For those of you who love Jesus, you're following Jesus, you're Christian, you're doing all the things. Like, what would it look like if we decided, hey, what if we just stopped posting and oversharing all of the religious stuff? And when we came in contact with other people that has, they're not doing the church thing, right? They can't get on board this Jesus train, or they don't know why you take up 60 to 65 minutes of your Sunday. They don't know why you want your kids involved in small groups on Wednesday. Like, they just don't get it. Like, what if instead of being like, you know, overbearing or maybe judgmental or maybe rebuking or maybe some of the things that we typically lean and tend to do as human beings, what if we just said, hey, why don't you come and see? We got coffee. We got donuts. Unless you get here late and then everybody ate all the donuts. We got people in cow costumes, right? Like we got stuff going on. Like I can't explain it. Like Garrett, our pastor's from Shawtown. Like I don't get it, but like we like him. Y'all are supposed to say amen right there and you missed it or something. You're supposed to say something right there. Anyway, like I don't know, but come and see. Like, I can't explain it. I might not know exactly what's going on every at the church all the time, but like, hey, you can come and see. You can sit with me. Like, we need to get this into our mind. Like, we need to figure this out because I think people have got questions. The same way you have questions, the same way you have doubts, the same thing. Like, other people are the exact same way. So what would it look like for us to be more like Philip? Be like, I don't know why the Messiah is from Nazareth. I can't speak to that, but you know what you need to do, Philip? You know what you need to do, Nathaniel? You need to come and see. Maybe he can explain it. Maybe we can figure it out as we follow him, but won't you come and see? Verse 47, when Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Have you ever thought about that moment when you come face to face with Jesus? Like, it gives me chills sometimes thinking about that. Like, the moment where you come face to face, literal with your eyes, his eyes, connect, you see Jesus. Have you ever thought about that moment? Like the one that we believe stepped out of heaven to live, to die, and be resurrected that we talk about. You know, if you're a part of the church, like we talk about all the time, we worship, we serve, we do all the things on behalf of Jesus. And for those of us living here today, right, it's almost this abstract thought because we've never seen him in physical form. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for you and me to do what we need to do. But that moment that we see him, have you ever thought about what that might look like? And in that moment, is there something that you hope he says? Like, I hope it's kind of like off the cuff, right? I think it would be cool if he had like a Dr. Pepper t-shirt on and just be like a little sly, like, yeah, right? Like, what does that look like? What does that moment look like? For Nathanael approaching Jesus, Jesus says this incredible statement. He says, here's a guy, a true Israelite, no deceit. In other words, what integrity, what character does this guy have? He is a great person. Now, if we were in Nathaniel's shoes, we'd be like, hold up, wait a minute, stalker. Like, hi, we just met, right? Philip just told me that we found the guy that Moses wrote about. All this kind of, so, like, he's brought me here. I'm not sure because you're from you know where. But this is how Jesus greets Nathanael. And then here's the question that we're looking at today. Verse 48, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. How do you know me? This is the question I want us to focus on the remaining part of our time together. On the front end of this series, I think it's very important that you should know how much God knows about you. Because odds are, whether you're a Christian, you're full of faith, or you're full of doubt, you're the critic, you're the sixth grader, all the way up to the senior, like wherever you're at on this scale, like somewhere along the way, odds are you've asked the question, Does God really know me? Like, am I worth knowing? The church teaches and preaches about God loving us and seeing us and knowing us. But like, really, does God know me? And so you find yourself in the same place that Nathanael was. Face to face with the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And all of a sudden, Jesus has given you this incredible compliment and greeting. And Nathanael's like, wait a minute. How do you know me? Odds are we've asked ourselves the same question. And one of the few times Jesus responds directly to a question, this is what he says. He answered, and he says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Jesus says, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree. Now, there's some speculation we have as Bible nerds and theologians. We don't really know what this phrase means. There's a couple options. The first one could mean it's a literal fig tree. Like, dude's got one in his backyard, and that's where he, you know, was at. But within Jewish tradition and rabbi teachings and things, this phrase, under the fig tree, could mean a place of prayer, a place of meditation, a place of studying scripture. And so, again, with Jesus' acknowledgement of who Nathanael is, like, this is someone who is doing what they're supposed to be doing, right? They have good morals and good characters and good values. And so, like, we understand that something in this statement meant something to Nathanael. And odds are, only Nathanael knew about it. Because once again, it's very specific. The same way that Philip would tell Nathanael, hey, it's Jesus of Nazareth, it's the son of Joseph. Jesus gets real specific to Nathanael and says, hey, I saw you under the fig tree, man. Long before you knew Philip was coming or found you or you heard anything about me or my family or where I was from, I saw you. And for those of us who are asking the question, does God really see me? Does God really know me? What I think Nathanael found out in that moment is what I want you to know this morning is that God doesn't just know about you. He knows all of you. That he sees you in those moments when no one else sees you. He sees you under your own figurative fig tree. He sees you when you're struggling. When no one else knows, when we don't let our spouses or our kids or our parents or our teachers or our coworkers or our friends, our home groups, our pastors, when we don't let anybody else know about the things that are going on, he knows and he sees it. A thousand years prior to Jesus showing up and having this conversation with Nathanael, David, this shepherd boy, runt of the litter kid, kills a giant, and he's thrown onto the national scene of Israel's headlines. David was a poet. He was a songwriter. He was a worshiper. He longed to be with God and to follow God. If you know the story, he from this giant killing, he's thrown into the military world of Israel's army, and he grows and develops into being an incredible military leader. He's eventually selected as the next king of Israel. He's this incredible king. It's from this lineage that Jesus shows up. Like, David is just this massive figure in Israel's history. But a thousand years prior, when David lived, David already told Nathanael that God knows you. 3,000 years prior to us showing up, David would tell you and me, God knows you and he sees you. In Psalm 139, he would write this, You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Verse 13, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We have to speculate, but I think it would be pretty cool if Nathaniel had found himself under the fig tree that day. Whether it was an actual fig tree, whether it was a nearby cave, it was a place where he could get away from life and the stress and the worries, wherever it was that this under the fig tree moment happened, where God literally saw him. Long before you realized that I was calling you, long before I realized that I was inviting you into a greater story, I saw you. And for those of you who are here and you're like, what am I supposed to do with that information? So God sees me. So God knows me. Great, wonderful. So what? What I do with that? Let's finish the story. Verse 49, John 1. This is what Nathaniel, notice this, what he declares. He doesn't say it. He doesn't sing it. He doesn't promise it. He doesn't doubt it. When you read the Bible, make sure you see what it says and what it doesn't say. Then Nathaniel declared that once he realized God saw him, once he realized that Jesus knew not just about him, not just the facts, not just his bio, not just what was on his Instagram feed, not just what was posted online, but he knew all of him. He knew the public and the private. He knew the actions and the thoughts. That he knew all of him. He declares, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And that's what you're supposed to do too. That's what every human being on planet Earth is supposed to do when they find out. When you guys invite people, when you guys tell your coworkers and your friends and your family, hey, come and see. Come and check it out. And we stand on these stages and we sing these songs and we preach and we teach and we declare that God knows you. Jesus would tell it in another story. He knows the hair on your head. And for some of us, I'm going to raise my hand, it's decreasing every day. But he still knows me, praise God. He knows you and he sees you. And most of all, he loves you. And it's not just the things that you let people know. He knows all of you. And the best part about this story is that when Nathaniel realized who Jesus was, and once he realized that Jesus saw him in a maybe a vulnerable moment, maybe in a terrible moment, maybe in an ugly moment, maybe in a wonderful moment, we just don't know. Maybe it was a moment of worship. Maybe it was a moment of adoration. Maybe he had the best week of his life, but he was still there thanking and praising God. We just don't know. But still, Jesus says, I saw you there. Whatever that moment looked like, wherever it was, where it doesn't matter. I saw you. And I would argue the same against all of us, that God sees you and that he knows you. And now that you've been presented that information, what are you going to do with it? We talked about it last week. Jesus invites us not only to hear his words, but to put them into practice. So for those of you who now know that God sees you, that you now know that he knows you, can I invite you to declare him as Lord? Could I invite you to say, hey, Jesus, I may not understand all things scripture, all things church, all things faith. We'll get to that later. You can ask questions in the app. You can text us in. We'll get to that later. But in this moment, today, now that you know God of the universe sent his son to die for you, there's going to come a moment where you get to look at Jesus in the face. Now that you know that information, can I beg and plead that you would declare him as Lord today? Because he does know you. And he does see you. And he loves every single one of you. Today, just like Nathaniel did 2,000 years ago, my hope and my prayer is that you would declare him as Lord, as God, and as King. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you so much for seeing us. Not just creating us and then abandoning us to this world, but seeing us, knowing us, and loving us. Loving us so much to the point of death. Loving us for stepping out of heaven into living in this broken, evil, fallen world. Yet you did not sin, but you died all the same for us. Thank you. Lord, forgive us for not realizing, for forgetting, for doubting that you truly know us. Lord, today, would we begin to declare you as Lord? Not just here in this building, not just here in these seats, not just sitting there online or listening to the podcast. No, 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 that's easy. Let's declare you in the workplace tomorrow. Let's declare you in the school space tomorrow. Let's declare you in our homes today. Let's declare you in our groups, in our communities, amongst our friends and family. Let's declare you. That's what we're supposed to do. And perhaps today, for maybe the skeptic or the critic, for the one on the fence with faith, God, would today be the day? Would today be the day of salvation? Would they have the boldness to step into the starting point room, to reach out to us online, to say, hey, today for the very first time, I'm declaring Jesus as Lord. And if that's today, may you, Lord, may you, Jesus, receive all of the glory. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in and through Crosswind Church. I'm honored to be a part of it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody at Crosswind Church said, amen. You guys have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@crosswindchurch.net and download our free app, I Am Crosswind, to keep up to date on all things Crosswind Church.